10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to a Trending Topics Network presentation of Tunes Game Time for Sunday, October 18th, 2015. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, we've got a lot of news to cover. A lot going on in the video game world, but before we get into that, a little bit of contact information. If you want to catch every show on the Trending Topics Network, it's really easy to do. All you got to do is go to TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. where you can find podcasts about movies, current events, wrestling, NFL, really just about anything that you could possibly ever want to listen to. So be sure to do that. Also, if you would like to get a hold of the show or even be on the show, I really would appreciate you just going to TuneShow.com. At TuneShow.com, you can actually find all of our contact information, whether you want to get a hold of us through Skype, which you can do, where our ID is actually TuneShow. You can get a hold of us via email, which is TuneShow@gmail.com. You can get a hold of our Twitter, which is @TuneShow. Or you can just get a hold of me directly at TunesBrian. Or you can go to Facebook.com/TuneShow as well to get a hold of us. As I said, all that information can be found at TuneShow.com under the Be Loony tab. So be loony. Go to TuneShow.com and get a hold of us. Either way, if you'd like to find the podcast in a manner that is not what you are currently listening to us, which I welcome you, simply go to TuneShow.com, where you can find all the other ways to get a hold of us, too. If you open your iTunes search engine, you can type in Trending Topics Network, all one word, and you can find the TTNet, or if you just want to listen to Tunes' very own shows, which include Tunes with Jack and Brian, Tunes Chucks, and Tunes Game Time, just punch in Tunes Show, all one word, TOONSSHOW. We're actually the only Tunes show on the interwebs, so if you punch that into your website browser, your favoritist, a search engine, just Tunes Show, all one word, you actually get our website, and you can find us if you get confused. Either way, do subscribe us, do rate us. We appreciate that, and it helps us in some way, shape, or form. Eventually, my goal at one point is actually to crack the top 300 podcasts. And honestly, I never even check it, so I don't even know if I have in the past. I have no idea. So either way, do that for us. We really appreciate it. I'm riding solo this week. And the reason for that is because, frankly, I didn't know what time I was actually going to be able to do the podcast. Yesterday, I wasn't really feeling all that great. A little bit under the weather, so I kind of bummed around at PJ's all day, which was great. I actually ended up not even playing any video games on Saturday. However, I will talk a little bit later about Transformers Devastation, because I did have a chance to rent that. And I will gladly give you my thoughts on that. But before we get into that, it's time for the news. According to Polygon.com, League of Legends is attempting to rehabilitate jackasses on the internet who enjoy playing League of Legends and actually ruining the game for everybody else. First off, before we even get into it, good for them. Good for them. But reading directly from the article at Polygon.com, League of Legends' newest effort to manage its famously rancid player community includes a test for narcissistic behavior, reports Vice Motherboard. Earlier this week, players whose summoner names were flagged as inappropriate noticed they had to complete a new and lengthy process for creating a new name. Basically, what they're doing is they're making it harder for these people to actually log in and reinstate themselves back into the League of Legends, which is fantastic. I mean, honestly, how many gaming experiences have been ruined by just complete jackasses that do appear on these boards and playing these games? I know that a lot of times we like to look at them it's pretty funny when you watch the videos and you see people trolling other people all the time, especially games like Club Penguin, where there are Twitter accounts specifically set up that follow this type of behavior. But if you're a gamer who's not into that, it just ruins the experience for you. League of Legends actually stepping up. Further in the article, they indicate that the process actually includes a survey whose questions are, quote, lifted directly, end quote, from the Narcissistic Personality Inventory, which is a test that was developed in 1979, and it's widely used, kind of a psychological test, so to speak. I think it's really funny because you're actually going to test these people's narcissism. Now, I don't know what extent this is actually doing. Like, nobody really knows to what extent they're taking the results of these tests, whether they're lifetime banning people or somebody has to actually pass the test in order to be reinstated. But merely the process alone, having to go through everything that they're making these guys go through, I really hope that people finally get it and actually start really treating each other with respect. The second part of the survey, apparently, asked players how many times over the preceding 7 days they engaged in any of 11 antisocial behaviors, including questions like, I got into a physical fight because I was angry, or I slapped or kicked someone. Society is such that I picture a lot of people failing this test. But it kind of raises some ethics questions, I guess. I'd be interested to hear what you think. So hit me up at ToonsBrian on the Twitter machine, or hit us up in the comment section of the article containing this very podcast. Because here's the thing. League of Legends, although I've never played it because I'm not a PC gamer, it has nearly 30 million people playing every single day, according to Riot. Which its last report that they actually filed was in 2014. But 30 million playing, you consider, let's just assume that even a sixth of the players have fallen off since then. We don't actually know. But you're still looking at 24 million people on that game every single day. And really one of the reasons why maybe more people don't play it is because League of Legends has actually developed a bit of a reputation for having a bunch of jackasses playing it. It's just great. I think it's great for that gaming community. I don't know if you want to see this kind of thing widespread, but certainly League of Legends needed it. In the past, Riot has been implementing public crackdowns, which really kind of necessary. They got to protect their brand. I mean, in reality, it's their game, it's their baby, and if people are going to try to ruin their baby, then by all means. Just like any retail establishment would have the right to ban you from the store if you're causing damage to their image, or any arena would be able to ban you from buying tickets to your favorite sports team for just bad behavior. Certainly they should be able to do much the same in those instances, because, I mean, really, how many experiences of League of Legends was actually ruined by some of these people? I think it does also present one of those situations where you really have to, as a company, you have to walk a fine line as well. Because what is toxic behavior? What is offensive? And it's really hard to tell because that line is so gray. There's so much gray in that. To draw a hard line would be next to impossible. But initially, right out of the gate, I applaud Riot Games and their efforts to actually improve the experience for all gamers and not just worry about the people who really kind of ruin the game for everybody else. But, moving on, GamesRadar.com Reporting after an interview with Uncharted 4's co-director Neil Druckmann in the latest issue of Official PlayStation Magazine, they're reporting that Uncharted 4 is actually going to be the end of an era for Naughty Dog. I don't know how much of this was actually reported in the past. The game is called A Thief's End, so that's kind of an indicator. However, the Uncharted series has been around for a decade. A very popular series, Uncharted Collection, actually just came out this past either week or 2 weeks, the Nathan Drake Collection. Naughty Dog actually delayed the game just so that it could get the ending to this series right. Because they are ending the series, which is always kind of a hard thing for any developer to do when you have a successful series like that. But at the same time, there are a lot of series that go on just far too long. And I think Uncharted is kind of going the right way. Naughty Dog actually ending that series, I mean, they kind of held on. And then you would have ended up with something along the lines of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a series that has gone on for too long. Fable. Because they just keep kicking out Fable games. Well, after Fable 2, they probably should have ended it. Or realized that the run was over for that game. Particularly after Peter Molyneux left. That definitely should have been a sign after he left Lionhead Studios. There are several other games that really just went on far too long. Or at the very least, maybe should have taken a bit of a break. 10 years are a really good run for Uncharted. A lot of the people who have played it love it. And they're really looking forward to Uncharted 4, as they should. It's a beautiful-looking game. Since I wasn't in the PlayStation realm, I've actually never played an Uncharted game. So I'm basically going by hearsay about what a good game it is. But it is kind of sad at the same time. Anytime you have to let go of a series. And one of the quotes in the article from Druckmann says, "You could tell people in the room were just getting emotional as we were discussing the specifics of how this series is going to end. That was one of those moments where you felt the excitement and anticipation for our fans to experience this, but a little bit of sadness because it is ending. The other day we finished motion capture with Emily Rose, who plays Elena, and Richard McGonagall, who plays Sully, and some people got teary-eyed in the room because they've been part of this project for many, many years now, and it's wrapping up." So, Uncharted 4. I guess the question I will ask the listeners, and those of you who frequent ToonShow.com, and are familiar with the series, maybe you've played all the games. Is it time? Is it time for Uncharted 4? Do you have a problem with that? Do you wish the series would go on? Because, as I said, I'm not an expert on Uncharted because I've never played it, having been an Xbox person up until this recent generation. But I am interested because I've thought about getting the Uncharted series, the Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection, just so I could catch up on what everybody else has been playing over the past couple generations. But I just don't know. I'm still on the fence about it. However, congratulations to Naughty Dog and all that for actually delaying the game for the purpose of getting it right and nailing the ending. Ideally, for players of that game, the delays also allowed them to fix any bugs or mishaps that the video game itself might have, because you'd hate to have the last taste in the mouth be really coming in the form of like a 28 gig day one update, because that would be just flat out a disaster and not how you wanted to actually end that series. You want the end of the series to be all about the game and not about any surrounding issues with that game. So let me know what you think, either in the comment section of the article containing this podcast, or via email, whatever it is, however it is that you would like to get a hold of me, by all means, feel free to do so. We're going to move on to the next story. If If you're into video game streaming, particularly via YouTube gaming, the latest major update, which is actually the first major update for YouTube gaming, is going to add the ability to stream gameplay directly from your mobile phone. Kind of a big deal. According to the company's announcement, Android users can now use mobile capture to stream while they play an array of mobile titles, particularly Blizzard's Hearthstone. YouTube Gaming is also adding a number of other features that are really going to pressure Twitch, which is YouTube Gaming, if you really consider it, is one of the first major players in competition for Twitch.tv. But they're going to offer a similar partnership program to their users that Twitch has, where users can subscribe to their favorite streams and support them via monthly donations. In addition, the update that they're adding, according to IGN.com, the update will make adding games to your collection a lot easier as well. The mobile app will now keep track of your search history. The website's watch page has undergone redesign, and the service now features a, quote, watch later, quote, unquote, option. Honestly, I'm going to check out YouTube Gaming again. I spent about an hour with it whenever it first released and didn't really like the layout. That's not really saying much about YouTube Gaming because I'm not really big on Twitch TVs or Twitch.tv's layout either. However, I do go to Twitch a lot more often. Anytime frequent Game Time co-host Ryan Hamner is actually live streaming. So I do that. I just don't like going to the main page, I guess. I've got to have a motivation to go to these websites. However, at some point I am going to check it out, perhaps live stream a game, which there's a market for it, right? I mean, if there wasn't, then Google wouldn't be getting involved with it, since Google has a partnership with YouTube Gaming. Also, if you haven't uploaded the latest PlayStation 4 update, which I'm not sure why you wouldn't, but it actually has the YouTube streaming feature embedded into that program as well. That's basically all there is to it. YouTube Gaming, their first major update, looking to really make some waves in the live game streaming industry, including the mobile phone streaming, which I've not actually watched any mobile phone streaming things, so I don't understand that, or why you would want to live stream a mobile phone thing. To me, that one's confusing, more so than any console streaming, but what do I know? I'm an old dude at this point, I guess. So there it is. If you're into YouTube Gaming, congratulations. Moving on to the next story. Found in an article at GiantBomb.com, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Nintendo has started sending out development kits for the mysterious NX console. There's a lot of interesting little tidbits in this Wall Street article, and according to sources close with the Nintendo development teams, they're suggesting that the company is aiming to introduce the platform next year. We could assume E3 2016 in June. However, there's, like I said, a lot of interesting little tidbits in this article, but none perhaps more interesting and intriguing than the fact that sources are suggesting that the NX may include both a console and a mobile unit. This is really big. The other thing is that they're saying that it could have industry-leading hardware. So you could see Nintendo actually jumping into the HD realm, perhaps the 4K realm, if it were. A lot has been really speculated about this NX so far, ever since the patent application was leaked several months back, a couple months back at least, which the Nintendo NX patents that came out had a mysterious port that nobody knew what that port was actually for. There were a lot of assumptions, whether it was a cart port, or if nobody really knew. If Nintendo is going the route to where you have a console that allows you to play it both at home and then undock, as it were, and take part of that machine with you on the go and continue gaming experience, that could be a complete game changer in the console world. And Nintendo, as you well know, is all about their gimmicks. And a lot of the gimmicks actually work. This past generation with the Wii U didn't necessarily work. People didn't really buy into the Wii U tablet pad as much as they thought they would, given the situation. Given the market on the tablet industry and mobile industry, they kind of just estimated wrong in terms of development. However, if they're able to pull this off, I think it's a really, really, really interesting platform, especially if they can introduce some sort of HD on-the-go device that also allows folks to hook up their gaming to their television and actually play it as it's an actual console thing. I would worry about things like battery power, obviously. But everything is speculation at this point. And the real key for Nintendo in the next generation is going to be getting third-party developers on board. And if they can come up with something that will rival the performance of any mobile device out there, that's exactly what they'll do. They will really attract a lot of third-party developers for that. The question is, how much are they going to make the Nintendo hardware kind of accessible, because they have been known to dumb down their devices. And I don't say dumb down in a derogatory way, but what I mean is they're very protective of their core audience, which tends to be younger people. And that's a good thing. I do appreciate that they do that. However, a lot of development companies kind of shy away from Nintendo for that reason as well, because they can't have like a Mortal Kombat on the Nintendo Wii U, for instance, simply because the ideals that Nintendo try to instill and maintain. There have been a lot of shakeups in the Nintendo Corporation over the past year, with Iwata actually passing away, a new president, a new really market, a new approach to video gaming that Nintendo not only has to take because of different people at the head, but also because of the changing market. If Nintendo actually decides to cling onto the past with this new device and not move forward, not only in terms of hardware, but in terms of content and what is allowable content, it could be a situation where they come up with something just completely innovative and completely market-changing, and they could be the first one in the door and still end up lost in the dust. So they have to play this really smart. They really have to consider all possibilities for this before making a decision about what they're going to allow on the system, what they're not going to allow on the system, and how much they really promote this to developers to try to get them on board with it. Because if they don't reach out to developers like Naughty Dog, like Bethesda, like Blizzard, they're going to end up lost in the dust, no matter how many Pokemon games or how many Mario Karts they can come up with for the system. If they don't adapt to the current environment, it doesn't matter how awesome their system is. They will be left in the dust, because gamers, they just demand more. You got to give them something that makes it worth them coming there. And if you don't, then it doesn't matter how impressive the system is, because next year somebody's going to come up with something comparable, but with a variety of stuff that the gamers actually want to play. So, either way, I'm really intrigued by this. We will certainly keep you updated. There's also a link to this article in the article at toonshow.com, in which this podcast is posted, so be sure to check that out. Moving on to the next story. This next article is actually brought to you by our good friend Old School Heel on the Twitter machine, apparently, the people at TheVerge.com believe that Fallout 4 is now the best reason to own a PlayStation Vita. After reading the article, I honestly can't argue it. And now I want a PlayStation Vita. Even though Sony's not going to be making a new Vita, it's long been PS4's greatest accessory, according to The Verge. With it, you can remotely play any PS4 title with surprising clarity, freeing up the TV or freeing yourself to game from another room entirely, which is sometimes the most awesome blessing ever. And as Old School Heel pointed out on Twitter when he pointed this article out to me, or pointed me in the direction of the article, likely to make our wives hate us for playing in bed. But either way. So yeah, Bethesda actually took the time, Josh Hamrick, who is a developer at Bethesda, actually took a little bit of time to play Fallout 4 on his Vita, and says that it has great controls thanks to Hamrick, who actually helped create Destiny. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, Fallout 4, it's right around the corner. People are looking for all new ways to play games. And not even necessarily all new ways, but the best ways to play games. And honestly, to play games constantly. Because Fallout 4 is rumored to be well over 400 hours of gameplay. And you can't spend it all in front of the television. You can say that. But remote play is giving players of Fallout 4 the potential for another way to experience it and to continue to experience that play. You do that via the remote play feature, excuse me. However, continuing on with some Fallout 4 news, because we are less than a month away from the release of Fallout 4, some important release information came via Bethesda.net, which is Bethesda's official blog, concerning the release of that game as it relates to the PC. If you're going to play this on the computer, the minimum requirements and recommended requirements for the game have been released, and according to Bethesda.net, the minimum requirements are Windows 7, 8, or 10. 64-bit operating system are required. By the way, they recommend a minimum of an Intel Core i5 through 2300 2.8 GHz AMD Phenom 2 times 4 945 3.0 GHz or equivalent, and 8 GB of RAM, 30 gigs of free hard drive space, and an NVIDIA GTX 550 Ti 2 GB AMD Radeon HD 7870, 2 GB, or equivalent. So in other words, it's going to be pretty resource heavy, the Fallout 4, not to say the least, seeing as how that's the minimum requirements. I recommended are the Windows 7, 8, and 10 64-bit operating system, an Intel Core i7 4790 3.6 GHz, or AMD FX 9590 4.7 GHz, or the equivalent. So you're probably going to need an upgrade. Almost definitely going to need an upgrade to play this game. Again, the same stats on the other things. 8 GB RAM, 30 GB of free hard drive space. Also recommended by Bethesda are the NVIDIA GTX 780, rather. 3 GB, or AMD Radeon R9 290X 4 GB, or the equivalent. That's some pretty serious hardware. Chances are, if you don't have a pretty new computer, you will need to upgrade. Make sure that you have enough space in the vault to store Fallout 4, according to Bethesda, because Fallout 4 does require 28 to 35 gigabytes, depending on your territory and the language that you request to support it. So there's a lot coming on. It comes out on November 10th, 2015 at 12:01 local time in all territories. In North America, the unlock time will be actually 12:01 Eastern time. And in Asia, it's available at 12 a.m. on November 11th, the following day. And if you're in Japan and listening to this, konnichiwa, or whatever, and it will be available on Thursday, December 17th. So you got a ways to wait for that if you live in Japan. However, just looking at the languages that Fallout 4 will support, because this is important too. In North America, you'll have English and French. In South America, you'll have English, voice and text, as well as BRPT, which I don't even know what that is, and Latin American Spanish. In the UK, you'll have Australia, New Zealand. It will only support English. In most European territories, you will have English, French, Italian, German, Spanish. In Russia and Poland, you will have Polish and Russian, as well as English. In Asia, you will have traditional Chinese text and English available to you. And in Japan, it will only support Japanese. Yeah, if you want those different things, there's a whole list of frequently asked questions that are in that article, which we will link on the website at toonshow.com. That's it for the news this week, and as promised at the beginning of the show, a little bit of a review on the recently released Transformers Devastation. I was really looking forward to this game. We rented it this weekend for the PlayStation 4. I had a little bit of a chance to play with it. My son had a little bit of a chance to play with it. Let's just get the good stuff out of the way right off the bat. It is what it is. It's a decent game. But if you expect too much out of it, you will find yourself disappointed. If you are looking for anything that a little bit more of a kind of a reminiscent kind of game experience, you will find yourself disappointed. Kind of, as is the case with a lot of different retro gaming situations, the minute the nostalgia factor wears off, and you get to see what the game is for itself, in a lot of situations, you do find yourself to where you're like, okay, I'm over that. That's kind of the case with this game, and I put probably 2 hours into the game, because honestly, after seeing some of the different Transformers in their 80s forms, which is the Transformers that I grew up with, you kind of get over it, I guess. I hate to say that, but there's nothing that impressive about the controls. There's nothing really that impressive about the gameplay. It has a very retro feel, and I can appreciate that. Maybe it's just this weekend, it wasn't what I was feeling. The game looks great. It looks awesome. The retro feel is there. It's spot on. They got the Transformers right. Whether it's from the overcab version of Optimus Prime to Megatron turning into a tank. It's fantastic in that aspect. The video game's kind of a mash-em-up kind of thing, but if you actually approach the combat system with some patience, you can really dominate your opponents. You face off against Devastator, who is massively huge, which is pretty awesome when you first see him. And then you have to face off against the individual components of Devastator, most of the time in pairs. Really kind of interesting. There's a little bit of a story there. But the story really isn't that interesting. I know my son had a little bit different take. He kind of enjoyed it. He played it for about 5 or 6 hours, having a good time, just kind of going through, collecting his Energon, and not really doing a whole lot, just kind of racing through as the different cars. Is it worth it? It's definitely worth a rental, but I don't know that I'd put more than a couple hours into the game. So if you were looking at getting that, as I said, after the nostalgia part wears off, not really that impressive of a game. I'm glad that they decided to do the game. I don't think they necessarily did a bad job with the game. But I do think that people who go into it that are of the age that they can really appreciate the 80s style of Transformers, they're a little bit more sophisticated in their gaming taste, and this might not hit the mark for them. At least it didn't for me. So if you're going to check that out, by all means, rent it first. And if you really, really like it, then go buy it. Other than that, just wait until it gets really cheap, or you can find it for cheap on Craigslist or eBay or whatever it is, and just go that route. So that's my take on Transformers Devastation. Do like it, don't love it, and even liking it is kind of, you know, meh. But either way, that's going to be it for this week's show. If you go to toonshow.com right now, you can find the article detailing all the video game releases that will be coming out this week. All the video games and their trailers are actually up there. If you go to the page, which you'll be able to find near the top of the page, in the slider at the top of the page with all the most recent articles, you will find the trailers to games that come out this week, like Delta Zeal, Warhammer 40,000, Death Watch Enhanced Edition, Yoshi's Woolly World. You will find games like Just Dance 2016, the official Guitar Hero Live trailer. You will find all kinds of things. Oregon Trail, not Oregon, not like the state where you got to get in your Conestoga wagon, but Oregon Trail. The Complete Edition is coming out for the PlayStation 4 and Vita on the 20th, which is Tuesday. You'll find games like Pulse for the PC, Rebel Galaxy, Sword Coast Legends, and of course Tales from Zestiria, as well as Tales from the Borderlands, the finale, which is called The Vault of the Traveler, the fifth and final episode in that episodic adventure from Gearbox, I believe, is actually who is produced that one. You never know, because the different developers and publishers, they all kind of change and rotate and in order to put these games out on a repeated basis. And I'm just winging it right now, so I'm going by memory. So if I'm wrong on that, forgive me. But that's going to do it for this week's show. And until next week, my name is Brian. Thanks for listening.